Well, here we are about halfway through a calendar year.
And we've come to a national holiday, Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, there's a number of things that take place, certainly parades, decoration of graves, a lot of getting together as a family, enjoying a picnic. There's many things that we find going on. This national holiday involves a lot of travel, too. Gas is going to be consumed. People have fun. Originally, this day was called Decoration Day. It was in remembrance of those who died in services to the United States of America. And some of you certainly are aware of the day in a very sometimes personal way. There's many places that claim to be the originator of Memorial Day. Some 24 cities and towns say, well, we're the one that started it. But it is indeed something that we find our nation doing. It was born out of the Civil War years as a desire to honor our dead. And I think you're commonly aware of this. The first time that I became aware that this was a day, I was really young. And my grandmother came to town, and she took me up to the cemetery on the hill. I lived in a small town in Wyoming. And, of course, the hill was outside of town to the north, and that's where the cemetery was. It was really small, I think probably still is. And you drive up and you could go around. And she drove up with me and she said, here's where we're going to stop, Chucky. He's over there. And she had some flowers and a flag. And we went out and decorated a grave of some relative of mine. I think I know who it is, but I'm not entirely sure, and I don't know that I'll ever get back there to check on it. But indeed, we did take time to decorate that grave. How many of others of you have done that, been involved with a Memorial Day in decorating the grave? And some of you have. I want to take for a moment and give you a little bit of an English lesson. Because when we talk about Memorial Day, there's two words that come up, grateful and thankful. Now, I'm not the best linguist on the planet by much, but we use grateful to talk about how we feel when someone is kind to us or does us a favor. So we say, well, we're grateful. Thank you so much for helping us move house. We are so grateful. Or maybe it would be in a letter, I would be very grateful if you could send me more information about your company for my school project. I'm grateful is a hope that's in the spirit of yourself. Memorial Day is a day of gratitude for what somebody else has done for us. Now, thankfulness, we use in a different way. At least we're supposed to. I probably confused them myself. But we usually use thankful when we are relieved that something unpleasant or dangerous has not come to us and didn't happen. Like, I heard you were in an accident. Are you okay? And there we would use the word thankful. I'm thankful that you were not hurt. I'm just thankful that no one was injured. So grateful is a state of mind. Grateful is a state of mind. It expresses our inner appreciation. Thankfulness is an expression, generally has a receiver, and is compared to someone else's situation. So when you think about this day, I think really it is a day that is captured more by the emphasis of the word grateful than thankful. And yet I'm sure we'll be using the words from time to time and interchangeably, and maybe it doesn't matter too much to us. But it made me start to think as I was going through this topic and thinking about this weekend and the sermon that I would deliver today, how that's very important that we have a very sound heart of gratitude. We do live in a world where gratitude is not often expressed. And sometimes it seems like it's easily forgotten. there's a lot of undercutting, backstabbing that seems to be in the order of the day. People are always taking advantage of someone else, maybe you too. And we find that there is this that brings us to the main thought of the sermon that I have for you today, that I want you to develop a heart of gratitude. This will serve you well throughout all your life. And while it has a little commonality to the day or this weekend that we have in our national heritage, there are some things about gratitude that speak to the spirit of the heart, and that we really have an understanding that transcends and goes to some very important parts of our life. So I want to give you three internal, very personal areas of gratitude that you should have as a mindset. Gratitude is something that we need to understand. First of all, be grateful for God's goodness to you. Be grateful for God's goodness to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I'll be using the New King James Version here today. I'm not going to go through the entire 20 verses, but just notice some of the highlights that are here, where God reminds his people how he looked after them in the wilderness. He says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Now you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, and to know what was in your heart. God was seeing what their heart said, and one of the things that should have said that they were filled with gratitude. He wanted to know whether they would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you didn't understand, nor did your fathers know, that he may make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Gratitude for what you have. Sometimes when you don't have too much, the gratitude includes that you have some rice or beans. Now, it might be that you're gratified that you at least have a can of fish, tuna fish to make a sandwich. And while you might have days in which you can enjoy a heartier meal, some days when you have less should inspire you to understand a little bit about gratitude. And that was what he was wanting the Israelites to learn here. He tells them their garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell those 40 years. So their clothes did not wear out, their feet did not swell. Now, how grateful would you be if your feet didn't swell? I know a few of you that have problems with swelling in your feet. And if all of a sudden that stopped, you would be very grateful. In your mind, there would be an essence of thought saying, I'm so thankful for that. Now, in verses 6 through 9, he paints a beautiful picture of all the blessings and wealth that awaits them in the promised land. And it does say then in 9, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. A lot of mineral wealth. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Now, the first little prayer that I gave today, asking God to bless us here, it's easy to think about God in this environment when we're all together. If you're alone, can you remember and have that heart of gratitude that you have at some point known others and been with them? So we go on down to verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. gratitude is very important. You need, all of us need, I need, to remember gratitude for what God has given to us. That our heart swells with understanding that He has given to us some very important measures. 19. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall perish. So if they forget God, they would die. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish. But you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now in these verses 11 through 19 and 20, I did a little marking in my Bible, online Bible I have. And the word forget is mentioned three times. Forget is mentioned three times. The word remember is mentioned once. Telling us it's very easy to forget, and that remembrance is what is very, very important. When we start looking at what God has given to us, to you and to me personally, it's very much developed in our minds that we have a heart of gratitude and we don't forget what God has given us in good times. Now today might be a good time for you. This year might have been a good year. It might have been a fantastic year. It might have been a very poor year. What is your mindset then about gratitude? It's amazing how easy we forget God's blessings. We don't have an attitude of gratefulness. And so I want you to consider promoting a mindset of gratefulness in your daily walk with the Eternal. So often He gives us blessings for our enjoyment. But once we get the blessing, whatever it is we've been asking for, maybe it's having to do with a better job. So then we get more work. We find ourselves engaged with that. And spending a lot of time with our work, whether if our hands are at a desk. And then we forget God. No longer putting in 40 hours, but then putting in 60 hours. And God, and being grateful to God, takes second place. Sometimes, and I know this affects many of us, we pray for healing. We want then the magic to come to our life as God forgives sin and creates a wholeness within us. But what happens once our health is restored? Do we continue with the gratefulness, or do we slip back into an attitude which is really pursuing worldly lusts with no time for God? Sad, but I think it's true if you think through your life. There are times when we slip away from gratitude and we'll go do things on the Sabbath that we would never have dreamt to do when God had just intervened in our life and we were God-centered. And we were grateful then. But gratefulness seems to wash away with the wind. And then we seem to want to do whatever we have desire to do. So in this first lesson, let's be thankful for God's goodness to us, for the fact that He has given us gratitude. And the second point, be grateful for others' goodness to you. Many of you are the benefactors of what someone else has done for you. And that's an easy thing to think about, because all of you have parents. If it weren't for your parents and their caring for you, it would be something for you to really consider about gratitude. You know, as many people brag about the success they've found along the way, none of us have ever found success on our own. I know people that have made a lot and done a lot, but many people that have done well, other people have invested their time, their wisdom, their advice. And we should be in an attitude of gratefulness when other people give us these things. We should not forget them. People give us a helping hand when we need it badly. And that catalyst of gratitude needs to always continue. if you really think about it, sometimes that's a good time to send a simple thank you note. When you're revealing back into your mind, you're going back and you see what somebody has done for you. And seeing then that you should express your gratitude. I found a poem by one named Randy McClave, and it was three stanzas long. Moving from the first one, which I'll omit, to the end of the poem, he says, "Bring me flowers when I'm here. Please don't wait until I'm gone." See, when someone is alive, that's the time to give them acknowledgement of gratitude. So I might reflect to a different year, and my memories will last on. I might reflect to a different time, with every breath and scent I breathe. And knowing the flowers are mine shows me how much that you love me. Let me enjoy the flowers again. Let me feel them on my fingers, because I just don't know when and how long my memory will linger. Bring me flowers with a smile. Please don't bring them with any sorrow. And I will hold them just like a child, as I held you and held on until tomorrow. I want to see them once again as I place them on my table. And then they will be my friend, and I will greet them while I am able. They will be a part of me, my mother always has said. So bring me them now to me, please. And don't wait until I'm dead. You cannot show someone gratitude when they're dead. The time to acknowledge gratitude is when they're alive. Every one of us has someone that we can be grateful to. And while it's within our opportunity today, today is the day that you do it. Today it does good and acknowledges and gives your heart more of a foundation, a heart of gratitude. So bring me all your flowers. Now it tells us to thank and appreciate people while they are alive, not when they're dead and no longer able to hear or receive our words or acts of gratitude. And that's one of the problems with Memorial Day. The gratitude goes on today, or so it is said, but the flowers and the flags have put at graves over this weekend, those in the earth cannot acknowledge. It's a sad comment about society. A scripture that illustrates this is in 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23. Here in this section of verses 1 through 12, David saved the people of a town called Keilah from the horrors of being captured by the Philistines. In response, they showed him gratitude. And they were really in a sore position, but David came to their help while he could do something for them. 23, then verse 1, then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing and the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once again. The Lord answered and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines in your hand." So David and his men went there and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. Now this Abiathar was the son of the high priest. The high priest had died, but evidently he had the ephod, and if you check back, that means he had the Urim and Thummim with him as a representation of the high priest. And so he was sporting some very important garb, you might say. Verse 7, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, so Saul said, "Go, God has delivered him into my hands, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars." Ah, he's in a town that I can seal off. So Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And when David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard, O Lord God of Israel? I ask you, tell me." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hands of Saul?" And he said, "They will deliver you." And so they went out of that area. And David says in 13, escaped from there. So he halted the expedition. There's a time when you find things in your life are not quite as healthy as you'd like. They might be very rocky. And it's at that time when you're being pursued, and Saul was pursuing David, that you might remember to keep in contact with God and make sure that he knows that you are grateful for all that you've done. So the second point, let's be thankful for the goodness that others show to us. The third point, develop a family gratitude. Develop gratitude within your family. So many of you are related to each other. We have families here for the most part. You have husbands and wives together, children, sometimes grandparents. We are many, many families. And I want you to think about the families that you are and that you develop gratitude within your families. How often do we take our spouse, our children, our parents, and other family members for granted and don't appreciate them and show gratitude? We forget that they've been to us through all the love, the necessities that we have. They've been faithful. Our families have been committed towards us. Yet it is sad that sometimes the home is a place where we should be loved the most, but we sometimes get hurt the most because we do not show gratitude. And it might just be the error of not mentioning it and not writing a card or finding a way to bring flowers. Gratitude is very important. Thankfulness. When you communicate with people, do you say thank you or thanks? Do you say please? Do you show gratitude then in your heart? Gratitude and appreciation for our families are some of the ways we can stifle Satan's strategies against the family. And we will make sure that we're not hard against each other, but that we have gratitude. I've seen relationships and families crippled through lifetimes of problems, plots over land, inheritances that seem to favor one or the other, finances, bank accounts. I've seen that in my own family. And if we let it, that'll fester and grow outside and create walls, and there is no gratitude. There's only hatred. Now, Abraham lied about his wife Sarah, didn't he? He came on his journey, and in Genesis chapter 12, in seven verses, verses 12 through 19, there is this example that I want to read to you of Abraham lying about his wife Sarah. Genesis 12:12. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So please say you are my sister, that it might be well with me for your sake, and that I might live because of you. He thought, well, they'll want you, and they'll kill me to get you. So it was that when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her, commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and saying, what is this that you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's your sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go away. Do we ever treat any of our families with some of that disdain? He did it a second time in Genesis 20. You think Genesis 12 would be enough, but to look at the first three verses of Genesis 20. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt among Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarai his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Think about it. How many of our wives would react in what way if we did the same thing to them? If for convenience to save ourselves, we disown them for the moment. And we need to remember that then in all portions of our family, with our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, grandchildren continuing with their thoughts towards grandparents, all of our areas of intermingling of family need to embrace the subject of gratitude. It's important for husbands to remember the girl that you met at the altar, the one who bore your child or children, stood by your side faithfully. Be grateful. Express your thoughts. I found a song from Kenny Rogers that says these words, buy me a rose, call me from work, open the door for me, what would it hurt? And likewise, then women can show honor to their husbands, remembering the man that they fell in love with, that took care of them, that spent all that money on the dates, and going out and going out and going out. Children, be grateful for the mother who bore you inside of her, the father who sacrificed so much for you. Gratefulness is a very important basic thought to the Christian walk. I found maybe it'd be called a Christian song. It's called No Charge. And it goes this way. I'm reading it to you. My sister's little boy came into the kitchen. This is by a Shirley Caesar. My sister's little boy came into the kitchen one evening when she was fixing supper. He handed her a piece of paper he had been writing on. And after wiping her hands on an apron, she took it in her hands and she read it. And this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. For making up my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. For playing with my little brother while you were shopping, 25 cents. Taking out the trash, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, she looked at him standing there and expecting, and a thousand memories flashed through her mind. So she picked up a pen and turned the paper over, and this is what she wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, holding inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctored you, prayed for you, no charge. For the times and the tears and the cost of the years, there is no charge. When you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. For the nights filled with gray and the worries ahead, no charge. For the advice and the knowledge and the costs of your college, no charge. For the toys, the food and clothes, for wiping your nose, there's no charge. When you add it up, when you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Love doesn't cost anything. You can't buy it. You can buy a lot of things that are pawned off as love, but they're not love. Gratitude has no charge either. To show someone you're thankful, to let them know of your heart, to know that you really understand. And recently, some of you have shown me gratitude, and I appreciate that. And that really made me think about this whole thing as a sermon today. But there's a lot of lessons, I think, for all of us to consider in our families, in our relationships, and certainly with the calling that we've been given into this way of life. Gratitude should be very deep in our lives. When I was talking to you via the emails that have gone out, I mentioned, does the Bible really say we should always be grateful? Are there benefits to gratitude? Does gratitude have any relationship with obedience? Is there anyone more grateful than you? And I want to end with just going through a couple psalms with you and reading a couple verses. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Salah. Our God is the God of salvation. And to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. Gratitude. And then Psalm 103, the first 8 verses. Psalm 103. This is from David. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. For that, we should show him gratitude. So in a quick review, these are things that we need to then apply in our lives. Be grateful for God's goodness to you. Second, be grateful for others' goodness to you. And finally, develop family gratitude.